The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
For me, footwork has been something that's got me out of trouble on more than one occasion on and off the pitch, so I'll go with that one.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
At 12 minutes past 8 this morning, I'm delighted to say Karen Duggan is with us to look back on the weekend's Premier League action. We'll also look forward to Ireland against Sweden on Thursday night as well. Karen, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning, sure.
Let's start with Manchester United and Solskjaer. The YouTube comments this morning are a fairly good indicator of what the different topics are. But there's a sense that if Manchester United just bought and had an N'Golo Kante or a Fabinho in their team, then all would be well. But there's an immediate correction from people, in fairness, in the YouTube comments going, that's not the case, because there's a strong argument that Solskjaer wouldn't exactly know what to do with them. Which camp are you in? Do you buy that Solskjaer could make it as a manager, or does it begin to look at this point like there's enough evidence that he just doesn't have it?
I think it is beginning to look like it's not there. He did a good job in coming in and kind of giving us a stable period and bringing us back to a point where we could potentially compete. But that potential now isn't being fulfilled. And when you look at the money we're spending on players and on wages, even of the players who are within the club, you need to be thereabouts. Looking at Liverpool at the weekend and contrasting them to Man United. Everyone talks about the attacking talent Man United have, but in comparison, they're paling in comparison to Liverpool, because they know how to play together, and Man United have absolutely no cohesion, and we're still dependent on a 20-year-old in Mason Greenwood to pull things out of the bag, even though we've bought Ronaldo, Sancho, Van de Beek on the bench, obviously, and the frailties in the centre of defence that we thought Varane would plug, and one game he's missing and all of a sudden the gates are wide open again, and it just doesn't look like Solskjaer really knows what to do. He is still dependent on one-offs, Bruno Fernandes doing it for him last season and someone else to do it this season, and it's just not looking good for him, I don't think.
The one thing there that sticks out to me is, because the centre-backs and midfields have been mentioned quite a bit, but you mentioned there the lack of cohesion in attack. So when Manchester United have the ball, are you seeing the array of talent that they have in attack just underwhelming and underachieving time after time?
I think so. Like, if you ask what is United's style, it's one-offs from here and there. When you ask what Liverpool's style is, you know that you're going to get a really high press. Firmino might not get you the same amount of goals as Ronaldo, but the work that he's going to do to provide the ball for Sané and Salah is completely different. And we've brought in Sancho, who's trying, but he doesn't have the same work rate. We have a workhorse, but he's in Cavani, but we need to keep him on the bench because we have to protect Ronaldo's ego because of the criticism Ollie got for not playing him against Everton. And then we've got Greenwood, who'll try hard, but isn't defensively solid. And then behind that, you've got Pogba. He doesn't really want to defend either. And Bruno Fernandes, I don't think he might run around a lot, but in terms of what he contributes, in terms of being able to tackle and break down play, that's not there. And then you've got Matic kind of by himself, and I don't think Matic was horrific at the weekend, but he's not a Kante. But even if he was a Kante, I think the exposure is just too much when you've got five players in front of you who aren't providing any type of protection or who aren't even cutting off spaces. It just makes the midfield area too big of a place for one man to cover. And Ollie has come away now from his double pivot, which a lot of people wanted to see. But now we're seeing that we don't have the players to kind of do that at the moment if we're going to go all out attack with those five people who don't want to defend.
Like, we see the problems here, and we've seen the problems over the last 18 months, and yet they haven't really been addressed, either in personnel or in terms of what the game plan actually is. I don't understand why. Why do you think it is?
I don't know. I think that there's too much sentimentality going around the place. It's Ollie was a great guy. He came in and he did a good job to stabilise it. But when you look at what has happened at Chelsea, say when Lampard wasn't cutting the mustard, they brought in Tuchel, and you look at how Chelsea play now and you say, right, they're a really organised team, they have a style of play. We don't have that. I just think we're crying out for someone like Conte to come in, because we have Ollie, who maybe is good at man management, and then we had previously maybe Van Gaal or Mourinho, who are good on the tactical side, but we don't have the balance of either. we saw what Conte did maybe at Inter Milan, the way he was able to get the best out of Lukaku. So he's got the man management skills, but he's also got the tactical nous to be able to take players. Man United obviously have quality players. It's still Man United. They still have bought really good players, but they're not getting the best out of them, because I think Pogba kind of mentioned maturity and Ollie was not in support of that word, but I think it is right. Like, to score a goal and then for almost 10 seconds later away from home to concede so easily in the manner they did, that is a kind of maturity, and it's a maturity in how you play in terms of your tactics and having a style and an identity. So I think it's just calling out for that change at this point. And I think before Ollie kind of tarnishes his reputation, I think it's a good time to go, although it seems like he's being backed for another while. But I think by the end of the next four games, any ambition we had on challenging will be completely gone. I think it's gone already, but I think it'll be completely gone.
What will it take for Manchester United to act, do you reckon, Karen?
It's going to take another few losses. I don't know if some fans would feel the same, but it's almost at the point where would you take those losses in order to force change? Or do you want to see Ollie turn it around? I think that enough time has passed that we know that we're not going to turn it around, that it is too late this season. So I think it's going to take more losses, and unfortunately then it'll be too late to make any impact on the Premier League this year.
Give me a sense of what the world would look like if they hadn't signed Ronaldo. Would the team be different? Like, is having to shoehorn Ronaldo into the team forcing Solskjaer's hand in how the team wants to play? Or was there any evidence that actually he knew what he wanted the team to do before that?
I don't think he knew what he wanted to do before that, but in Cavani, he had someone who would do a bit more chasing and harrying, and then maybe that kind of inspires the people behind you to have a more cohesive press. But at the moment, it's kind of one person going. Maybe Bruno might bomb forward, but there's no one behind him following suit, and then there's gaps opening up. So I think that I still think that Sancho isn't quite bedding in. He was bought as a right winger, but he's playing on the left. He was better when he came off the bench against Everton than he has been when he started. So maybe he needs that time. I think having Rashford back would be good, because he kind of brings that work ethic and embodies kind of what it means to play for Man United a bit more than some of the other people on the pitch. So, but again, that's down to individuals and putting themselves forward and them kind of being the ones to trigger any type of spark within the team. It's nothing to do with tactics. So I don't think that's all he's doing. If those moments where we do play well, shoehorn and Ronaldo in, you shouldn't be dependent on your centre forward to be the one to start a press anyway. It's good when it does, and it kind of helps the players around them kick into gear, but again, it's Ronaldo. You know what you're getting with Ronaldo, so you have to have the tactics to tell the people around them how they need to react when you are defending with one man down, essentially.
It's interesting listening to Paul Pogba speak in the aftermath of the game. He said, we need to find something, we need to change something. I don't know if the mindset of all of us, the players, when we start, we really don't know. It's frustrating because it's something we don't understand, and we have to find that very fast. As a player, when you have that level of frustration / confusion, do you start to doubt the manager a little bit? Do you start to think, well, it's up to you to try and find out what is wrong?
Yeah, as much as players know how to play the game, they take the manager's lead. The style that they play is down to who the manager picks and the approach they take to every game. United seem to take the same approach to every game, is that we'll have the ball against teams that we're better than, but we'll struggle with the low block. And we might be teams who are actually a little bit better than us because we have a good counter attack. That's not really a style of play, and there needs to be more. And even if Pogba has to play more defensively, if he has to play more like he does for the French team, know what to get the best out of your players. And I just don't think Ollie knows what is going to get the best out of his players, unfortunately.
This is a long, slow death, isn't it? It just depends on how quickly it comes. It could be the end of the season. It could be the middle of next season. If you know,
then you lose out on the chance of maybe getting someone like Conte or Zidane, who's free now. You have to kind of see who's in the market. United can't just sack him with no plan. What? If they had someone, they need to have someone in mind to replace him.
I've talked about Brendan Rodgers for Manchester United for a long time. Mark Lawrenson told me to behave when I suggested it. Is he not exactly what this team needs at the moment?
Possibly. See, they need some sort of change. And to be fair, he's been successful in his last 2 tenures, very, very successful. And the fact that he was able to kind of continue on Leicester's amazing rise, it shows that he definitely has the credits to do something. I think Man United is so big, though, that we want someone like Conte more so. Pochettino, as you know, his name was bandied around for a long time. But we're at the point now where, yeah, we would probably welcome Brendan Rodgers, I would think.
I mean, Pochettino might be available at the end of the season. That job, no one ever gets to keep it for too long. If they don't win, he'll be gone.
No, you want someone as well who will attract players. Obviously, the big one now is we need a couple of centre mids. And Conte, he's good in terms of his defensive setup. He'll know the right type of player, hopefully, to bring in to complement those forward players that we mentioned earlier. But yeah, anyone who can plug that gap really is what's needed at the moment. Anyone who can, save the slow death, like you said.
What about Spurs? So Spurs beat Newcastle, right? And everybody was talking about Newcastle all day. And Newcastle got this amazing start and there's this crest of emotion behind them. Spurs have had a great start to the season, an awful wobble, looked terrible, horrific against Arsenal, and then bounced back against Villa. Obviously, at the weekend, maybe that wasn't that big a deal. Wolves hammered them in the last 10 minutes. And then go to Newcastle and win on a day when it would have been easy to get distracted. Are they a real team? I mean, they're ahead of Manchester United on the table at the moment. Are they actually a real team?
Still not convinced on that. I mean, Newcastle's defence are poor, and the emotion of the first 10 minutes was quickly kind of snubbed out when they had to actually defend. I thought that Newcastle threatened a little bit in attack, but any time that Spurs went forward, you felt like there were gaps and they were being pulled apart, and that St. James's pitch just looks unforgiving for a team that has gaps as wide as Newcastle. So Spurs did well. They went and they did their job, and maybe they will grow into the season, but I would say they're more on Man United's level, and unfortunately that's a long way off the top three at the moment.
So they might sneak in as the fourth best team this year? Well, we'd all kind of written
back in Brentford for that.
Are
Brentford
you?
All the way.
Right.
No.
I mean, Brentford look amazing though. That's an incredible story.
They've been enjoyable to watch, which is something we probably didn't expect coming up, but they have been really good. That fourth spot is definitely open because you're seeing Man United dwindle away from it. They're looking very Europa League at the moment. I'd be worried about their Champions League games during the week as well. So that spot's definitely there for the taking. I think Spurs will be there thereabouts because they do still have the quality of Son. Dembele looks like he's untouchable in some games. So they definitely have players who can do damage and who can bring them up to those spots. They just don't have the ones that can push them up towards the likes of Chelsea at the moment.
We were talking about Mo Salah before you joined us, Karen, and I'd just like to ask you about that Liverpool attack in general. Like, you mentioned the potential of a title race there. Hopefully we get a proper three-horse race. But you look at the goals scored so far this year, and Liverpool have scored 6 goals more than any other team in the league. So when it comes to that attack in general, and not just Mo Salah, are you seeing something new this season?
I think you're back to seeing Trent really kind of at the top of his game. Robertson is always going to supply you with the energy. They look energized. Obviously, when they won the league, that was such a monumentous effort, and it was during such a difficult time for them. And then they had the little bit of a drop off, and people blamed Van Dijk as well. But the amount they had to put in to win that league, but they have that experience now and that maturity and the energy that's throughout the whole team. You saw James Milner overlapping from midfield at his age, and then they took off Trent and put him right back. They just have players who are willing and willing and willing, and they're doing that because that's their tactic, but they're doing that because they're pulling for each other, they're pulling for the manager, and that's a massive difference. They look like they look really solid in all areas of the pitch. They're very exciting in attack, and they have players who are just working, know how to play with each other, and it's really good to watch. As painful as it is as a United fan, it's really, really good to watch.
Like, it's interesting when you look at the graph of some of those players as well, and you hate to constantly make the Liverpool versus Manchester United comparison, but someone like Naby Keita obviously started, played a whole game against Watford at the weekend. He struggled for a good period of time at Liverpool, and you wonder if he was in the United setup, would that have led to, you know, his career fizzling out at United and him leaving? Whereas under Klopp at Liverpool, there's kind of been a little bit of a reinvigoration, granted, with a team coming from a much higher base.
I think so. I mean, Fred came to Man United with all this potential and obviously hasn't fulfilled it. Keita, he was stuck by, he was given the confidence, and he contributes to the team when he plays. You know, he is putting himself about, and no one is shirking their responsibility in that Liverpool team, and that's really like what a manager wants to see. So if he has a player who's going to do that, he's going to get opportunities, and you kind of wonder, is Donny putting in enough training in Man United to warrant people saying he should be given a game and things like that? Is he pulling for the team? Is he pulling for the manager? And you'd never, ever question that in the Liverpool setup. And that's a credit to Klopp, obviously, and a credit to Henderson and all of the older players who kind of drive it on there. But it's good to see Keita, because it's you know, it can inspire other people who've maybe fallen out of form under a certain manager, or who've fallen out of form just in general, that there is still opportunities if you stick at it.
This Thursday, Ireland plays Sweden, and it's a big game because we've kind of seen the green shoots of hope around Vera Pauw's side with the result against Australia. Sweden are even better than Australia, one of the best teams in the world at the moment. So what are your level of expectations? What are you hoping for when the match is done and dusted on Thursday evening?
I'm hoping that we have showed the same grit that we did against Australia and the same kind of ambition in terms of when we get the ball, that we are still trying to attack. Now, obviously, that will leave gaps open against Sweden at times. But I think that we need to use the Sweden game to prepare for the Finland game. A draw against Finland would be amazing. So I think we will see the five at the back again. But I'd like to see us really work the counter-attack. We do have really speedy players in Heather Payne. We see Leanne Kiernan is in fantastic form with Liverpool. I'd like to see her get a look in, definitely, because they're players who, no matter who they're playing against, they'll beat a defence in a one-on-one situation. I think we will be looking for that kind of long ball break against Sweden and possibly away to Finland. So I'd like to see us kind of set up solidly defensive, but a little bit higher up the pitch than we have been in previous qualifying campaigns. I think that's what we saw against Australia. At times, we were able to get Katie more involved in the game from that fullback position because we did start a little bit higher than we had been previously, and we weren't drawing the pressure on ourselves. But it is going to be a massive task, monumental task. Sweden have only lost on penalties to Canada, I think, in the last year, and that was in an Olympic final. They've beaten the USA, they've beaten New Zealand, Japan, Australia, like you mentioned, they've beaten them too. And we had the one kind of upshoot against Australia, but before that we were all kind of questioning, where is this Irish team going under Vera Pauw? So we need to see if that was a one-off or if that is the start of a really good campaign for this Irish team. So I'm really looking forward to it, because I don't know what's going to happen on Thursday, whether it was one upshoot and we will be back to kind of the unsureness of before that game, or whether this is going to be the start of a real developmental period for the team.
If you had to take a stab at answering that question you asked there, what's your sense on where things are, Karen?
My sense is that we have a good panel assorted now, and we're a bit like Man United in that we're not fully sure what we're doing from one game to the next. I don't know what our identity is still. So that's the thing that I'd like to see embedded from the very beginning of this campaign. Have a solid backline, a solid goalkeeper, and work from there. I do think that it's good to give girls a chance in the friendly games, but I think some of the decisions have been a bit strange, and then not using subs until the very last minute, and we're still putting Louise Quinn up front in the last couple of minutes as a Hail Mary shot. That doesn't scream tactical brilliance to me. So I'd just like to see a bit more inventiveness in terms of how we go about our different games, so that we're not dependent on one-off things like Man United are. Like, we're waiting for Katie to pull things out of the bag, like she has been doing for Arsenal, which is wonderful to see, but she's doing that higher up the pitch. So let's capitalize on our best players going forward.
It sounds like you're not convinced at the moment by the Vera Pau era.
I think that the potential is there, and it kind of it comes in spurts. I just want to see it a little bit more consistent. I think we've had a couple of bad starts to games. I think that has been detrimental, and we seem to play better when we nearly go a goal down and the shackles are off a little bit. And that kind of comes from confidence in how you set up from the get-go. If you're confident in how you're set up from the get-go, you're not conceding those early goals and waiting for that to be the spark to start playing ball. So I just think they need to have more confidence in themselves in terms of how they play going forward, how they defend as a team. And that comes from the manager. I think that the potential is there. I'm reserved in saying that, yes, this is the best manager we've had in ages, because I don't know, because I haven't had enough consistency to say that. I think definitely there's potential, but I think consistency hasn't quite been there.
Yeah, and look, I think if you were to make the case for Vera Pau, you would say that it's been completely disrupted by COVID. She hasn't been able to be here. But like with Stephen Kenny, all of that's finished now. And so this is the bit where every game we're going to see the evidence from this point forward of what it looks like and what the ambition is and what the identity of the team is. And that has to come from the manager. So now everything is fair game.
Yeah, and these are competitive games. We've had a year of friendlies, essentially, off the back of the disappointment at the end of the Euro qualifying campaign. But this is where we really start to set it up. And the Australia game was the preparation for that. And that was really, really positive. And everyone really looked like they really, really wanted it. And that's half the battle in terms of the Irish team. You know, it's the grit, it's the determination. So we know that can come out in this team, and that makes it very difficult even for the likes of Sweden and Finland to break us down. The next step then is going and beating teams like this. That's the progression step. So we're not at a point where we've regressed in any way under Vera, but we're looking for progression because we have the players to progress. A lot of these girls have moved to the professional setup under kind of the instruction of the Irish team, go and get yourself professional. They're all there now. They're all doing their part. So then they need, in reaction to that, the manager to really have her ducks in a row in terms of how we're going to approach this qualifying campaign. Because it is a really, really tough group, but we're kind of setting the expectation for ourselves now that she's saying things are getting better. We're improving. And if we are improving, that means beating a team of Finland's stance and really putting it up to Sweden.
All right, well, we'll find out on Thursday evening. Good stuff, Karen. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks a million. Bye.
Karen Duggan giving us her thoughts there. That game, the Republic of Ireland versus Sweden, is in Tala on Thursday at 7 o'clock. I'm just checking. There's limited availability of tickets for that one. So I'd say it will be a sellout, or if not, close to it. And we'll have it live for you on Off the Ball on Thursday evening. Republic of Ireland versus Sweden, live commentary of that game and build up in advance of it as well.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
For me, footwork has been something that's got me out of trouble on more than one occasion, on and off the pitch, so I'll go with that one.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.